This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are here at the Superdome, the 68th annual Home and Garden Show, and we're here with the organizer of all of this, Mike Z, Mike Zalaznik, otherwise known as Mike Z.
Good enough.
Joins us, and he's in charge of this. Congratulations, Mike, back in the Dome.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been... We had to leave the Dome for a couple of years. We really appreciate the hospitality down at the Convention Center. They were great to work with. But getting back into the Dome in such an iconic building, and it's a lot of fun, and you can feel the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The people coming in as we're loading in the booths, as we're building the booths. They're just, everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an iconic moment.
Well, it's good to get back home, right? Because
yes.
This has kind of been your home for a number
yes,
of years.
Absolutely. We've been in the Dome since it's been, since I think the Home Builders Association owns the show. So before I was involved with it, they, as soon as the Rivergate got torn down, this is where they came.
Yeah.
And so we've been in there for quite a few years. We're the longest tenant in the Dome other than the Saints.
Really?
Yeah.
Had a little bit of a hiatus with Katrina.
Yeah, that was a bit of an interruption, but it was good. I'll tell you, that show after Katrina that came back, I think every company in the world wanted to rebuild New Orleans.
Wanted to rebuild here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great opportunity, for sure, in so many different ways. Two very unique things when you come in. You're going to notice it right away. An opportunity to ride a hot air balloon inside of the Dome.
Yes. that's, again, coming back to the Dome, we wanted to make something very fun and unique. And it was, we had worked with balloons, and one of our directors at the Home Builders Association is a balloon pilot. And so we started discussing it, and it's like, could we do it? Maybe.
Yeah.
And no one has ever done it. No one's ever in the world that we know of given tethered rides inside of a Dome stadium. It took a little convincing. I won't lie.
But you made it happen.
But I'll tell you.
When you're in this business, you got to have that knack, right?
Yes. But I'll tell you, working with everyone from the fire department to the state fire marshal and the safety team in the city and the Dome, they've been really great. It hasn't been a, no, we can't do that. Maybe. let's see.
Right.
You know, and that's, and it took
a
long time.
Well, you can't miss it. You walk in, one is a multicolor, predominantly yellow and green. The other one is
blues and blacks
and some yellow. But you can't miss it. I mean, and I don't know. You almost have to have it every year now because it's such a unique add-on, right?
I think we might be able to arrange that.
Over 200 vendors.
Yeah.
I walked the floor earlier, packed full with just about anything you can think about with home improvement around your house, garden, outdoor patio furniture.
Yep. You name
everything.
It. Flooring.
Awnings. I mean,
different types of flooring, new products. The nice thing about the show is when you come down, what the vendors do is they're bringing out their new product. They're bringing out what they've got new, what they want to show you, what they want to showcase. And they still have the traditional things on regular wood flooring and regular countertops and granite countertops. But then there's the new polymers and that kind of thing that you don't get a chance to just, you can look at it online, but you don't get to touch it, feel it, see it. You can't experience it. Like if you think you want a pergola in your backyard.
Yeah,
you can come down here and sit in six different pergolas.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Get a feel for it and see what you like.
And outdoor furniture, obviously, with the climate that we have in traditional woods, always kind of been a challenge. A lot of composite stuff.
Yes,
all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah,
as well.
The poly furniture has been. I thought it was just a trend, a fad.
Yeah,
you know, and when they first started coming out, because it's like, okay, this is bright colors but they're durable. They don't fade. They're lifetime warranties on them. You don't have to move them around. I don't even think a hurricane's going to pick one of those up.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If they can survive our climate and our weather here, they'll survive anywhere.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, we can test it better than anyone in
this,
our
environment. This environment is very unique. It's building, and the show's owned by the Home Builders Association, so I talk with a lot of builders. And I've lived in a lot of different places in the country. Building here is probably the most challenging place to build anywhere.
Yeah.
And these guys are experts. And we've got a lot of builders and remodelers in the building. And those are the guys you want to talk to if you got a project going.
Yeah, absolutely. Interior, exterior lighting. You know, the onset of LED, and now they're going into next generation.
Yeah.
Just game changer. I mean, every shape and size that you can get a hold of.
Every kind of lighting that you can imagine. Whether you want to light the exterior of your house, you can light your house up for Mardi Gras. It's with the same lights. Light your house up with Mardi Gras for Christmas, for St. Patty's Day, for your anniversary.
And a lot of that same technology utilized inside unique closet designs with LED lights and things of that nature. I mean,
even a back.
Your imagination is the only limit in many respects,
And that's, you hit the nail on the head in the fact that there's almost 200 vendors in the show this year, and you can get so many ideas. And I do the same thing. I just bought another house in New Orleans, and I'm remodeling. Just like anybody else, and I'm going through the aisles. I'm looking. Okay, maybe that I could do that. I could, and I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to be going around talking to vendors, looking for new products, and looking for things I want to put in my house.
Interior furniture, exterior furniture, and a lot of beds that you can jump on and test.
That's very true. That's very true. It boggles my mind the number of beds that move out of the show every year.
Well, they're different. They're gel, they're this, they're that. There's every iteration of the new technologies that are out there, right?
Yep. And, you know, the ones that move, the ones that massage, there's so many different styles and comfort because we're all different, let's be honest.
Early this morning, first thing I did, I bounced on about 20 of these mattresses.
Nice.
Nice. Because we bought one.
Does anyone have a picture of that?
Yeah. We bought one we don't like so much.
Gotcha.
So tell us, 68 years.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are, 2025. What is markedly different?
Oh, 68 years of the home show has been, you know, we've gone through the archives. We've got the old pictures from the old shows, and they're very interesting. It's funny when you look at an ad from the old home show from the 50s, and a house was $3,500.
That's markedly different.
It's just amazing. And they hold the whole subdivisions,
right.
The technology and what they build with nowadays, it's changing every day, and that's one thing these builders down here, the remodelers, they have to keep up with their technology.
Yeah.
They have to keep up with all that. They get continuing education credits. We have classes in here for builders during the show, and so they can keep up with the tech and everything new, the new requirements, and that's probably the biggest change, is how technology has gotten involved in your home.
Well, you see it just with the quality of the booths and the presentations here on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, when you're walking around the show, it's a challenge. These guys work hard to build these booths. They only have 2 days to do it.
Right.
And they come in, and it's an amazing job they do, and they bring in their crews, and you can tell how skilled they are by just walking these aisles and looking at some of the projects that they built here for us today.
They have some fancy wagons moving some a lot of material coming in, huh?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. This is our day. This is opening day, so we don't allow trucks in anymore, and we don't allow vehicles, so everybody's doing their last minute with these collapsible, foldable
wagons,
product movers. I don't even call them wagons anymore. They're almost like two-story.
So tell us a little bit about the details. Getting here, you can park in the dome, sure. Obviously.
Sure, yeah, you can park in draw 6. The show starts today at 11. I'm sorry, 12. And we start at noon. We run till 7 o'clock. Tickets are $15 at the door. We run 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. And we will be just looking forward to being back in the dome and seeing everyone come back. It's been much anticipated on our end. And I'm hoping everybody turns out.
Well, it looks great. The balloons are a great idea. I mean, I've just been watching them going up and down. It really is neat. And they tell me that you really do get the feel of what it's like and rise and coming back down and the descent and the whole 9 yards. So that's awesome. Congratulations to you
Thank you.
Back in the dome. They're calling for bad weather tomorrow, but this is a great place to be because you can park in Garage 6 and walk right into the dome.
You won't even get wet.
You don't even get wet. So this is a great place to spend a little time.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're right. The weather forecast doesn't look very good for Saturday, and we have perfect weather in the dome.
Absolutely. Mike Z, the organizer of the 68th Home and Garden Show, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Noel.
Good luck through the weekend.
Enjoyed having you here.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Equinor Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live from the Caesars Superdome for the 68th Home and Garden Show. Excuse me. And we will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Big day tomorrow. Saturday is Election Day. So before you come out to the Home and Garden Show, make sure you vote. We're joined by Secretary Richard Nelson, Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Revenue. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Noel. Glad to be here.
So, Richard, I know of the amendments. Amendment number 2 is the one that's in your travel lane. Your thoughts about Amendment 2 and what you want our listening audience to understand about Amendment 2.
Sure. So, Amendment 2 is really a accumulation of probably 50 years of policy recommendations on how to really move Louisiana forward, how to fix the foundational problems that exist in the state. It rewrites Article 7 of the Constitution, which is a revenue and taxation article. That article, over the years, has now grown to be even longer than the original Constitution. About 80% of all the amendments we have to vote on are to Article 7. And so we took this opportunity, we were doing this tax reform special session last year, to try and go in there and really, fix those problems that have been there for a long time, that have been recommended that we fix, and, really give the state the tools that it needs to in order to go out and, you know, keep people here, keep businesses here, and attract, you know, new businesses, new folks to come to Louisiana and really grow our state. And so that's the goal of the amendment. It has a lot of pieces in there because we are rewriting this whole section. But it makes these, you know, makes these improvements that have been recommended for a very long time.
What would you say are there are two of the most important provisions within Amendment Number 2 to what you just talked about, changing the way that we traditionally viewed revenue here in this state and how we're going to treat that?
Sure. So, you know, one of the ones that I think is most important is the government growth limit. It sets a limit on how much the general expenses of the state can grow. It links it to population and inflation. So basically, you know, we keep a state government that lives within its means. I think that's really important for our state in order to, I think, continue to have a nimble state that we don't take too much tax money and we use that tax money wisely. And so that's an important part. And then I would say the second one that is really important, too, is the changes to the funds that are currently locked up in the Constitution. We, you know, put almost $3 billion. We'll raise the amount of money in the state's rainy day savings account to $3 billion, which will be one of the best funded savings accounts in the country. We allow the legislature more flexibility on our corporate and our oil and gas revenues to use that money for things like infrastructure today, for those problems we have today. And then on the teachers' retirement system, we make a $2 billion payment from some of these funds locked up in the Constitution to pay down that debt that's been around for a long time, for generations. And so that's a huge investment that will create over $300 million a year in savings and will give the teachers a permanent salary increase as a result of those savings. So I think those things are very critical, I think, to the success of our state going forward. And it's really a significant change from kind of the ways of the past to the ways of the future.
Some of those dollars end up in the general fund. What is your confidence level that we don't end up putting that towards recurring expenditures as opposed to one-time expenditure items?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's why we put that government growth limit in place, was to say, hey, look, we're not going to grow the state government any more than just what inflation is plus population growth. And that's why that provision was so important to put in the Constitution. The current limit that's in there is not really that, can be overridden with a two-thirds vote, and it doesn't really have much teeth. And so the new limit prohibits those recurring expenses from being tacked on. And that way, the money can only go where it needs to go.
Are any of the governor mentioned the other day, I think he was in Shreveport, is that if Amendment 2 fails, that it looks there's a possibility of the $3,000 stipend for teachers going away. Seems that a lot of folks were surprised by that. Has that been something that's been talked about before?
Well, they have presented an executive budget already, and it doesn't include the $200 million cost for that one-time stipend. So the legislature has put that forward for the last couple of years. We had some extra money, and so they put that money to that $2,000 stipend for teachers. Mm-hmm. That they don't have that money this year, and so that's not currently in the budget. And that was part of the reason why we wanted to use this big debt payment to really free up that money so that we can give the teachers not just this one-time stipend so they have to worry about it every year, but a recurring salary increase that they'll get, you know, from now for forever.
So that's the full context then of the comment, was that it's not contemplated in the existing budget that's being presented.
That's right. And that's part of our problem in how that stipend has been done, is it's only been a one-time deal that has now happened twice. But we wanted to give that permanent certainty of having that $2,000 be available every year for every teacher. And, you know, the best way to do that was to pay down some of this debt that right now all the school systems and all the taxpayers have to pay now. Is just you're paying it in interest on this debt instead of actually just paying the teachers.
Any concern as it relates to local government? I mean, one of the obvious issues is you know as well as I that the local government relies a lot on the state for a lot of differing funding initiatives. in the economic downturn years when we have this spending limit placed on it, where does local government have to go, or is this the state's way of saying, well, you're just going to have to live within your means, you're going to have to make these cuts?
So I would say that, the amendment, one of the other things that it does is it gives the locals a greater share of their severance tax revenue. That doesn't benefit every parish, but there are, it's like maybe 15 parishes that would end up getting more severance tax revenue instead of the state taking a bigger portion of that share. So that gives them more independence, I think, and gives them more flexibility with their own money, which I think is positive. From the state perspective, you do have a significantly increased rainy day fund. So if, we come up short, we don't have to cut some of these other things, which includes that local support, right? We'll have $3 billion in the account instead of about $1 billion that's in there now. So you will have more money available in the event of a shortfall. If the locals do, rely on the state for some things, they can have that bigger cushion. But at the end of the day, I really think the goal is to, grow the pie for everybody. So I think if we have a more diverse economy, we have more jobs and opportunity, that's what this amendment will accomplish. And I think the locals benefit from that. The state government benefits from that. Everybody benefits from growing the state.
Historically, Richard, you well know, because you've seen this happen over and over again, that when there is an economic downturn, it seems as though healthcare and education are the first to get on, that first one's up on the chopping block. Does this change that approach?
I would say it gives more flexibility to the legislature, especially on like those corporate and severance revenues that are currently, that currently get dedicated and kind of locked away. So it does give more flexibility over the revenue streams, which I think helps insulate both healthcare and education from cuts, or higher ed from cuts. That payment to the $2 billion to the Teachers Retirement Fund, it also benefits higher ed to about $86 million or so. And so that'll be an $86 million reduction in the cost of all the salaries for those higher ed institutions. And so that's a benefit, too, that they won't have to pay that anymore. That reduction will make them more secure. At the end of the day, I think there's the greater flexibility for the legislature to allocate those corporate and severance revenues is probably the best, the best thing to insulate from those cuts. And if you're talking about, just a couple months ago, we were talking about the fiscal cliff. We addressed most of that at least in the short run. We addressed a lot of that in the tax reform special session last year. We don't have this $780 million or whatever of cuts that we would have had to implement this year, mostly to higher ed and healthcare. But at the same time, you want that flexibility in the long run so that you don't ever have to run into that problem again.
Final thoughts?
I just really encourage everybody to go out and vote. I can't stress enough. Obviously, this is not, there's not a lot of things on the ballot. A lot of folks have, just the four amendments. Amendment 2 is what we've been talking about. And it really is one of the most important votes you'll ever make in your life as far as deciding the future of the state, whether your kids can stay here for opportunity and jobs or whether they have to go somewhere else. And so we're really trying to abandon that status quo and build a state that we can all be proud of. And I think that this amendment really makes significant strides in building Louisiana we can all agree needs to exist and, build us in the right position for the future.
No doubt that the level of importance, any time that you're amending the state constitution, it's up there, right? And it's important that you get out and let everyone know, by casting your vote, where you stand on these issues. And it's an important day. And I, too, encourage folks to get out there and vote. Mr. Secretary Richard Nelson, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm going to talk to a few folks that are out here and presenting. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are here at the 68th Home and Garden Show. There's so much to do, almost 200 vendors here, all kinds of different things. And You know, one of the issues that it has come up quite a bit as it relates to home insurance cost and that home insurance industry is fortified roofs. And we are joined by Ashley Vander Meulen from Compass. It's one of the inspection services relative to fortified roofs. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Newell. Thank you for having me.
Glad to see you again. Let me ask you, what's new on the fortified roof front as to what's going on here in the state of Louisiana?
Actually, quite a bit. The grant is moving forward. We just had a mandatory meeting this morning, and it looks like they're going to be rolling out more grants. Today, they've given away like 1,800 grants. Most have processed. There are still a few squeaky wheels, but the $10,000 towards updating your roof to fortified is really new. And the Louisiana Department of Insurance spearheads the Fortify Louisiana Homes Program, and they are absolutely killing it. They are doing so well informing folks and moving things forward. These grants go out 1,000 at a time, mm-hmm. and they're getting like 12,000 applications.
Wow.
And they're focusing, and the big change is they're not doing the whole state. They're focusing on the wind zone, which is kind of south of I-10.
South of I-10, I-12 then. Ashley, let me ask you this. $10,000 on average. I mean, I know every roof is unique to itself, right? What percentage does that cover on average?
It covers... Actually, it covers just about all of the cost of the difference between a regular roof and the fortified roof.
Okay.
So almost in all cases, if you get the grant, you're actually making money, so to speak.
So you get the fortified roof for the cost of what just a regular roof would be.
Well, it costs maybe 10 or 15% more because they're very specific on the materials. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of homes in the New Orleans area that are aged that just won't make the fortified program. So there's other options for those folks. But sometimes these older homes can be retrofitted at not a great cost,
right,
to meet the fortified program, and absolutely encourage folks to try to get fortified first. But your old historic home may create some opportunity, so to speak.
Right, right. So there's really not a downside to this for the most part.
No, absolutely not. It is.
What are we seeing across the insurance industry as it relates to discounting?
So as of today, Fortified is receiving less discounts than the wind mitigation program. The wind mitigation program has been around since 07. Fortified is recently new. So kind of the juggernaut of Louisiana insurance hasn't caught up to Fortified yet. New carriers are coming in and accepting the certificates and publishing discounts. And I would imagine that cycle's going to change.
It seems odd to me. I mean, because that's not the way that it's been...
Yeah,
it's marketed.
It's a little counterintuitive. They have a brochure, Fortified does, that says carriers give up to like 50%. And they're absolutely carriers that do. But the problem is many of them are not riding in Louisiana. And as they're coming in, they're giving these discounts, the carrier basically gets to dictate their own discount. It has to be actuarially justified if you're an admitted carrier in Louisiana. And like I said, I think it's just a timeline thing. I think over the next couple years, the fortified discounts are going to outpace wind mitigation. But today, because the program's so old, wind mitigation is actually doing better than fortified.
So what would wind mitigation provide for you? I mean, they're talking about like for windows and doors and...
Correct.
You know, so more all-encompassing, you know, really a lot of things other than the roof.
Yeah, and the easiest way to explain the difference in the program is fortified is a system approach. So you have to do roof, silver, or gold. It's their only three standards for homes, and roof covers exactly that. You got to put on their roofing system and meet their standards. And then silver would cover the windows, cover the openings like garage doors, glazed openings, overhangs. It would cover... chimneys, you know, things like that. And then gold is basically the continuous load path, which if you have an existing home, you really can't meet that. It has to be done in the new construction.
Because you're talking about, what, hurricane rods through the...
Basically tying the entire structure from the top all the way to the ground.
To the slab.
Right. And older homes just aren't built to that standard.
No, not.
And it's not cost effective to retrofit, particularly a historic home. But you have to keep in mind that historic home has been there over 200 years. And it's taken what Mother Nature has given it, and it's doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, and to finish answering your question, wind mitigation is a systematic approach, not a component approach, not a systematic approach. So if you want to add hurricane clips, we can check a box on wind mitigation. You don't have to do everything to meet the roof standard.
And hurricane clips would be what?
So hurricane clips would tie your rafter to your top plate.
Okay.
And like in an old Metairie ranch home, you would have to take the overhangs off because the sheetrock blocks it from inside.
Right.
But it can be done, and it may be cost effective depending on the carrier. And the insurance carriers are getting much better at understanding the discounts they're offering. Because it's the brokers. It was a bell curve for a little while.
Right.
And LDI actually has a published brochure. If you go to the Louisiana Department of Insurance, they have something that tells you how much each carrier gives for what. That way the homeowner kind of knows. And then for wind mitigation, you can replace your roof and have a new roof. We can check the box. And single-handedly, the most important thing anybody can do is when they replace their roof, absolutely get the secondary water resistive barrier, because that in and of itself, if your roof shingles blow off, will keep your house waterproof during the storm, so you're more likely to come home after the storm when the power is restored and not have ceilings that have fallen, not have the M word or mold and
right.
All of these other concerns, and that actually increases the cost of the claim exponentially. If you want to get the wind protection, they have hurricane fabric, they have hurricane shutters, you can buy impact glass. There's all kinds of ways to meet that standard, but unlike fortified, it's a component approach, which works very well for historic homes.
Right, as opposed to systematic. What is your best advice to a homeowner before they do any of this, while they're in the decision-making process? Would it be to contact your insurance company first to find out what they're willing to offer you?
Absolutely. The conversation begins with your carrier. Ask them if they will take the wind mitigation program. Ask them if they will take the fortified certificate. And then we were just on a conference call this morning with LDI, and they said that the insurance carriers will give a discount for fortified, or they will give a discount for wind mitigation. They will not give a discount for both.
Interesting.
You know, so again, and then after you talk to your carrier, call a fortified evaluator and have them do a pre-inspection.
So, you know, what's interesting to me is why would they not discount, you know, hurricane shutters, for example, if you made all of your windows
mm-hmm.
hurricane shuttered and you did a fortified roof, and they wouldn't stack that discount on top of the other? Because, I mean, basically you've put an envelope around the entire structure.
Correct. No, they're not going to stack the discounts. So that's where the homeowner has to understand the policy.
This has become a lot more confusing than what has been marked, what's being marked.
Oh my gosh, I am in the trenches every day on this, and the answers are changing rapidly. I absolutely believe we're moving forward. I think our insurance commissioner, Mr. Temple, is doing an outstanding job. I talk to his team, if not daily, a couple times a week on regular, because they're trying to create a database for wind mitigation, for fortified. So when an insurance carrier wants to come into the market, in a few years, we'll be able to document to them that, you know, in Jefferson Parish, we've got 15,000 roofs with the secondary water barrier, and we've got 5,000 that are fortified roofs.
And why that's important is because we're not really experience rated on a home-by-home basis like we are with automobiles, right? This is more of a community-based rating.
Correct.
Looking at the community as a whole. So the more folks that we can get with either a fortified roof or a wind...
A wind mitigation roof, a secondary water barrier, or at least having some of those component upgrades. The commissioner is going to be trying to pass legislation, we hope. Again, I'm hearsay here, but we hope that will allow this wind mitigation survey to be done, will allow this database to be created. And because right now they have it for fortified. If you go to the Fortify Louisiana Homes program, you can see a bubble map that tells you who's gotten the grant.
So, Ashley, why would we not have a statewide mandate that if you're going to build a new home, it's going to be a fortified roof?
So,
and why would we not, you know, be out there on a parish by parish basis to say, if you're building a new home, it's going to be a fortified roof?
So,
because if we're community rated,
yeah,
that's in the best interest of the community. I mean, we have to get aggressive on that. Do we not?
So the Louisiana is insanely unique. We have the second best building codes in the entire country. We are second only to Florida, and these houses are outstanding. And what's happening is a lot of contractors are not going the full fortified silver or the full fortified gold. They're stopping at fortified roof because it's an affordability issue. You cannot keep adding costs to new construction.
But the fortified roof is the secondary barrier.
Yes, but you can also put the secondary barrier without meeting the fortified standards, and that would qualify under wind mitigation. And because Louisiana has some of the best codes and we're building some of the strongest houses in the country, I don't think fortified needs to be code. I think it needs to be an option.
What about secondary barrier?
So in Jefferson Parish, for example, when you have an existing home and you put a roof on it, you're supposed to get a re-roof permit, and it is required for you to get the secondary barrier. Jefferson Parish has led the charge on that. They passed this over a year ago, and surrounding parishes are coming, but it's not happening very fast. But absolutely, those things are happening. But when we say that you have to build a home to fortified gold in Louisiana, if you're building it new, you're putting the price point way too high, then folks simply can't afford it.
I get that. I was just talking more about this secondary barrier. If that's the lynch, right, the linchpin,
yes,
and that's where we need to be, we need to mandate it.
I agree.
Because if we're community rated, it's the only way that we're going to get closer and closer to the pot of gold.
I tell folks every day, I said, if you hear nothing else, I tell you, friends do not let friends change their roof without putting a secondary water barrier, whether it's fortified or not. That barrier has to be there, and it's a continuous ice and water shield. It is two layers of synthetic felt, two layers of a 30-pound felt. You can also tape the seams of your plywood. These are all secondary protection methods.
Absolutely.
That will make all the difference.
I got to get to a break. Ashley Vandermeulen with Compass Inspection Services. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us and backfilling all of this information, the latest on this. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Alan Carey, Director of Sphere Education Initiatives at the Cato Institute, about the second.